Bible or have a Bible, feel free to take that pew Bible along with you when you leave church today as a gift from our church family to you. And I think everybody should have a Bible that you can take and read and be involved in and on a daily basis, the Word of the Living God. And if you were in church with us last Sunday, I preached a message last Sunday going into the new year on our goal for 2017. And taking a text out of Philippians, today we're going to take a look at, if you will, Ephesians 5. But as we read the text there in Philippians, I just want to remind all of us that when Paul made this reference to the church at Philippi, the goal simply was that I may know him, that I may know the Lord Jesus Christ and walk with him, not only be saved, but I may know him and the intimacy of that relationship. And that was the goal the Apostle Paul gave to the church at Philippi. And then he said this one thing I do, not two things, not three, not four, whatever, this one thing I do, he says, forgetting those things which are behind and then reaching forth unto those things that are before. And he says, then I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, this is always an exciting time of the year because we have put the last year behind us, and now we reach forward into the year in front of us, and we get kind of like in the transition, a clean slate or a new opportunity or a fresh start or however you want to look at it, an opportunity that lies at our doorstep. So I titled the message today on intentional living. Because if you really think about it, if Paul was not intentional in what he did or what his desire was, that I may know him, then you never will get to know him. If you're not intentional in what you do of forgetting the things in the past, and I'm sure, you know, with this many of us sitting in here today, some of you are going to have a hard time of letting go of things in 2016 or some things you're still trying to drag around with you, and you should let it go. Paul simply said, forgetting those things which are behind. He says, then reaching forth unto the things before or in the future and coming along ahead of him. And so Paul looked at this and said, I press forward, I press on to be able to reach and accomplish the things that God has laid on his heart and put him here to do. And so when you think about that, I think Paul was one of these individuals, very intentional in what he did. And I think you and I, if we're ever going to achieve things that we want to achieve in life, we're going to have to be intentional about that on purpose with a plan forward in our lives. So let's take a look at this text. Paul gave us these verses here in Ephesians 5, verse 1. And he starts out, Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Good thing in verse 1, followers of God as our goal. And then walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Interesting verse, isn't it? Oftentimes those things are said about people in the world that we live in, but in the church, in the believing world, in the Christian world, it should not be said about us living in fornication or uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named once. In verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now ye are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, and proving, I'm going to come back to that word there in a moment, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light, and whereof he saith, Awake thou that sleepest. And arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So then they that walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, and notice this now in verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Boy, you could describe that in our world today. Redeeming the time, buying back the time, making valuable use of the time that we have, because the days that we live in are evil. In verse 17, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So much said here in these verses, and I really believe what it boils down to, Paul is really teaching that whatever we're going to do, we need to be intentional about it. We need to have a plan. We need to have a goal. We need to have a direction. As I said last week, there'll be many that got to the transition of taking out the old year and bringing in the new year that you make many resolutions or resolve to do this or things that you want to change. And I begin to look at that thing on resolutions a little bit. I don't really make resolutions anymore. I did earlier in my life. I think it's more important to set goals, realistic goals, with intentional desires or a plan. And let me just give you these thoughts about resolutions. It's really the act or the process of resolving something. Or breaking it up into constituent parts, or it's determining or deciding, or to be resolute, or quality of mind, to analyze, to change, or to transform, to cause a person to decide, to reach decision, to be intentional. Think about this. The ancient Babylonians made promises to their gods at the start of each year that they would return borrowed objects and pay their debts. The Romans began each year by making promises to the god Janus, for whom the month of January was named. In the medieval era, the knights took the peacock vow at the end of the Christmas season each year to reaffirm their commitment to chivalry. At watch night services, many Christians prepare for the year ahead by praying and making many resolutions on their own. During Judaism's New Year, Rosh Hashanah, through the high holidays and culminating in Yom Kippur, the Day of the Atonement, one is to reflect upon one's wrongdoings over the year and both to seek and then to offer forgiveness. People may act similarly during the Catholic fasting period of Lent, through the motive behind the holiday is more of a sacrifice than a responsibility. In fact, the practice of New Year's resolutions partially came from the Lenten services. So the concept, regardless of the creed, is to reflect upon self-improvement. Oftentimes that's what we do. We finish the year and get ready to go into a new year saying, what do I want to change? What do I want to improve on? What do I want to do different? How do I want to be better this next year? At the end of the Great Depression, about 25% of adults in America formed what they would call New Year's resolutions. Popular goals during the time would maybe improve your physical well-being. Hopefully your health improves. Maybe to think more positive, to laugh more, to enjoy life more, to improve your financial picture, maybe to get out of debt, to save more money, improve your career, do a better job at the career that you're already at, improve upon your education, learning something new or reading more. I think it's always good to read more. Improving ourselves, being more organized, maybe reducing stress, maybe managing my time better. Maybe I want to resolve to take a trip or to volunteer to do something or to get along better with people. There's a good one. Make new friends, spend quality time with family, pray more, be closer to God, be more spiritual, take up a sport, get in shape. You could go on and on. Let me share this with you. The success rate of such resolutions, men succeed 22% of the time if they set goals. Women succeed 10% if they made their goals public and go get their support from their friends. But when you look at here the text, Paul said in the text in Ephesians 5:10, proving what is the acceptable unto the Lord. In other words, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord in Ephesians 5:10 is most important. But finding out or proving carries the idea of testing or proving to learn by clear and convincing evidence what is truly honoring to God. The point is this, that as believers we're to walk in the light of the truth and in the knowledge of the Lord will become clear. And Paul teaches us that by presenting ourselves unto the Lord as a living sacrifice to God, that we can then know what His acceptable will is in our lives. You know, when you think about it, and many of these resolutions fail along the way, and we think about goals, it's important, I think, to set goals. And so if you talk about being intentional about our Christian lives from Ephesians 5, I think you can break it down into five simple areas of our lives. That we need to be intentional about certain things. In other words, you can set all the lofty goals you want, all the plans you want, make all the resolutions you want, but if you're not intentional about it, it's not going to happen. Paul's intent was that I may know him, that I may know the Lord Jesus Christ, that I may walk in fellowship with him, know him better, be more intimate with him, and I would be closer to the Lord this year. If you don't put a plan to that, it's probably not going to happen. So Paul's plan simply was, I'm simply going to forget the things in the past. I'm going to reach forward unto the things in the new. I'm going to press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. So let me give you, I think, five simple areas today that I think we can be intentional about in our Christian living that will help us. Number one is simply our faith. Our faith should be intentional. Our faith that we need to know that we're saved, that we know that we have the assurance of our salvation. I think for anybody who gets saved and comes to know the Lord, they've got to be intentional about that. You've got to make a decision. You've got to make a way out the circumstances. You've got to understand the importance of salvation and to understand that you need to be intentional in deciding to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And then to go a step beyond that and to realize that Paul was not only satisfied in being saved and knowing that he was saved, but he wanted to know the intimacy of that relationship and to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to know that I know him, that I may know him. I think it would be a sad commentary in life to be able to go through life and to say that we're saved and we know the Lord and we go to church, but I really don't know him like I need to know him. So I think one of the intentional goals we can have this year is, as a Christian, is to be able to know that not only are we saved, but we're going to get to know him better and in his word better. We're going to walk with him closer. We're going to fellowship with him more. And the most important relationship that we can have is your faith in Jesus Christ. Now you say, well, how do you do that? Let me break it down for you biblically so you can get your arms around it. Romans 10, verse 17 simply says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You cannot grow your faith without being in the Word of God. You cannot grow your faith and you cannot know Him better if you're not in the Bible individually yourself growing and feasting upon the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You've got to be under the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. You've got to be able to be in the Bible yourself on your own. You've got to be able to feast and dig out the gold nuggets and all the things that are in there and valuable for you and I. You've got to be able to get out of the Word of God and to grow your faith that I, Paul said, may know Him and the intimacy of that relationship. So I think we can be intentional about our faith and say, you know what, our faith this year, I want my faith this year to be stronger than it was last year. I want to know Him better this next year than I knew Him last year. I think that's the top of the list. Number two would simply be, I think another thing we can be very intentional about and on purpose about and setting a goal on is our relationships. If you really think about it, Christianity in life is all about relationships. You cannot be all things to all people all the time. Life is about relationships. By that, you might as well start with yourself in that relationship and realizing the most important relationship is between you and I, or a God, our individual selves, and the God that we serve, the God we love, and the God that saved us. So you start with yourself first. But if you're in a marriage relationship today, maybe you might say and put on your list that, you know what, I'm going to be more intentional this year, more on purpose this year, about improving my marriage relationship. It's interesting, you know, next week, Nita and I remember 1 week, 45 years ago, about this time, I was getting in my Ford Mustang, driving from Texas to California to get married. I headed out a week early. I was in Bible college, and I had proposed to Nita, and she lived in California, her family lived in California, and so we took off, and I loaded up, I think my mom and dad was with me, got in a Ford Mustang, and headed from Fort Worth, Dallas, to Ventura, California, to get married. That was 45 years ago in 1 week. And I'll tell you what, that seems like yesterday that happened, and here it is 45 years later. And you find out you got to work on that relationship. And so the husband-wife relationship is a work in progress. And I'll tell you what, it gets sweeter and sweeter, moment by moment, year after year, day after day in the relationship. But it takes work. So maybe this year in the marriage relationship, one of your goals could be this year is you're going to be intentional about trying to improve that marriage relationship, husband and wife. You know, it's a sad commentary. I was talking to the other day, I think it's we raise our children, raise our families, raise the children, and one of these days, you're going to be standing there in that home, you're going to be looking at each other, And after the house all quiets down, saying, you know what, it's just me and you. And you better build that marriage on a good foundation that can survive the test of time. And when the children leaves and the last one leaves the door and the house gets quiet, you got each other. And not only that, you look forward to that time. Because it is sweet and it is good and it can be the best times of your life. Being intentional about the marriage. Maybe you have a parent-child relationship that in these relationships that relationship is just not where it needs to be, and you need to work on that relationship with a son or with a daughter or a family member and somehow in the home, and you need to work on that. Maybe somebody's in an employer-employee relationship, and you say, you know what, my job, my career, wherever I work is not exactly the best that it can be. You know, the Bible's very clear. We need to go, when we go to our employer and we work and wherever we need to give it all we have and 110% and be the best that we can be. The testimony of Christ. So maybe we need to be intentional about that employer-employee relationship or the business that you're in. And not only that, let's go one step farther in relationship. You think about church work. We're all involved in church work here, and that's all about relationships. This year I want to improve and be more intentional on my relationships that I have with people in the local New Testament church that I serve with. So you're going to have to figure out what it is that's most important to you and to your time and to your goal setting and to your plan, but you've got to be intentional about it. It's not going to happen by osmosis. It's just not going to happen unless you plan and put a plan in place to be intentional about that. Paul simply said that I may know him. I'm going to forget. Yeah, okay, maybe the marriage wasn't the best before, but you're going to work on it to make it better this year and then build on that for the next year and build on that the year after. Whatever it is with your son or daughter, I just know this, that the relationship needs to be right in the home and the family and that. And to make sure you got one shot at this, you got to give it everything you've got. And if you really think about it and being a parent, where do we go to school to learn how to be a parent? They didn't teach us that in junior high, high school. They didn't teach us that in college or seminary. You know where the school we usually get that education from is through maybe grandpa and grandma, mom and dad, and the home environment and that you grew up and you watch and you observe, and the parenting skills and things you've seen in your life as you've lived in your family. So maybe there's things we can do to improve on being a parent this year. And being intentional on that relationship. So relationships are most important. Start with a relationship with God and build on that. But you know, when you think about it today, I really believe that Satan has had a satanic attack and doing everything he can do to destroy the home and the family and the marriage and with the children and that, and to realize today that, you know, in the generation that we live in today, family is not looked at the same way it was, say, 50 years ago, or even 25 years ago. The attack on the family and the home and the marriage and child raising and that has been under attack for a long time. Satan would love nothing better than to destroy the first institution that God created and ordained and put into place, and that is the family unit. We need to make the family unit stronger and the bond and the relationship and to be intentional about that and to build upon that success. Let me share with you then the third thing I think we can be intentional about and found in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16, and that is our health. You have one shot at this temple. The body simply says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and the Holy Spirit of God dwelleth within you. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Isn't it interesting today that we manage our health by numbers, blood pressure numbers, sugar numbers, I don't know, whatever other numbers we look at, our health. And sometimes we take our health for granted until we, as you go through life, you hit a snag with something, and then you got to be a little bit more serious about it. But take that serious along the way, the health. You have one example of this, and oftentimes in our prayer list, in our prayer examples here in this life that we deal with and here in our church, we're always praying for somebody. They're going through a health struggle. They're going through a health need or whatever, and all of us. It affects all of our families. Taking our health seriously, I think, is a thing to be intentional about. You know, and let me just throw this out there. By the way, This church owns and has a large gymnasium on the other side. I've often thought about why it's not used more than what it's used. Amen? People need to walk, people need to exercise, people need to get out and whatever. And as a church member here, we invite you. You're welcome. You want to come by and use the church gym anytime you want? Come on and come and use it. It's yours. Belongs to you. Exercise, walk, whatever. Find something that works for you. Our health, be intentional about that. Let me give you the fourth thing here I think that we can be intentional about, and that simply is our finances. To have a plan, to have a purpose, to have a plan, to work that plan, and to realize, and I'd encourage each and every one of you in your financial planning, whatever it is, there's a lot of different things you can take and use and put into your life and apply. Number one, if you really look at it in the Bible, God says more about money and finances than many other topics in the Bible. I think Dave Ramsey has a great program out there that can help you in learning how to handle your finances, how to keep it in perspective, and how to do the right thing. Crown Ministries had a program out there on finances. There's a lot of other good resource material out there. But if you listen to the world that we live in today, it's still, I was going down the road the other day and listened to somebody who was talking on the radio about people that have gotten in again to excessive credit card debt and debt over this and the world we live in. If you listen to the world we live in, they really don't know what they're talking about because they don't line up with biblical principle. And the government itself cannot even balance its own budget and cannot even take care of its own debt. And what are we now approaching? $19 trillion, $20 trillion in debt. America is bankrupt. And the message that comes over the airwaves and over the TV and that is, just easy credit and lack of principles and lack of direction. So maybe this year is a good year to take and be intentional about your finances and about your money. What's your financial plan? And lay out and be intentional about that. Just as intentional about that as you are about your health. Just as intentional about that as you are your relationships. So when you think about it, finances, it impacts so much a part of our lives. And then I think another thing we can be intentional about here is our work or career and what you're going to do with your life and investing your time and what you're going to put that into. What do they say? Find your passion, find your joy, find what it is you like to do. And whatever that passion is, and then pour yourself into that, and you'll never work a day in your life. I feel so bad for people that they're into a job or they're into a career or they're into something. It's not really their passion. It's not really what they want to do. Or they get up every day and they go to work, and it's like they might complain about this and complain about that. Find something you really, really enjoy to do. Find your passion in life and pursue it. Don't let life grab you with the woulda, coulda, shoulda, no regrets or no looking back. And when you look at this text here in Ephesians 5, Paul simply said, and through this process of being intentional, be followers of God as dear children. In other words, be imitators of God. As a believer, we have no greater calling or purpose than that of imitating God. And that is sanctification. That is growing in His likeness. That is serving Him while we're here on the earth. The Christian life is designed to reproduce godliness as modeled here by the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ is the image of believers for you and I to recreate through our new birth experience as we come to Him. And as God's dear children become more and more and more like our Heavenly Father. Look at it in verse 2. He tells us how to walk this year. He tells us that we should walk in love. We just talked about that as a test in James 2 in Sunday school today. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. I think we could all say amen, amen, and amen. The fact that this world needs more love in it and more kindness in it and more compassion in it and more Christ-like examples in it. We live in a wicked and a vile and a corrupt world. So walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself for us and sacrificed Himself for us. He is the supreme example. Notice in verse 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, He gave us a lot of things in here to avoid. There are just some things you ought to stay away from. Just when you see it in your life or you see it coming down the road or you see it in your headlights, you ought to turn and run the other way and get away from it. And look at some of the things he points out here. He says simply in verse 3, stay away from fornication. Stay away from uncleanness. Stay away from covetousness. Let it not be named once among you as become a saints. And then in verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So identify these things. And when you see them, run from them. Turn the other way and go in the opposite direction. If you think about fornication here, you know what it really is? It's sexual sins of the flesh. There'll be some, maybe be some sitting here today. If you're not careful, if you don't be intentional, if you don't have a plan, if you don't stay focused, you will succumb and fall to the sexual sins of the flesh in 2017. Paul said, stay away from it. Stay away from fornication. Uncleanness. You know what uncleanness is in the Bible? It is sins of greed. Greed can get in, and the Bible just simply says, can destroy a person. Uncleanness is the sins of greed. Then covetousness. Covetousness is so important that it made the top 10 list over in Exodus chapter 20 on the Ten Commandments. And then, if you will, filthiness. You know what filthiness was here in the Bible in verse 4? It is really the sins of the tongue. Oh, that we can control the tongue. Let the tongue say whatever it's going to say, but let it say it out of love and out of kindness and out of compassion. So the tongue is really the sins, the filthiness here, the sins of the tongue. Foolish talking. Again, the sins of the tongue. And he even talks about here jesting, nor jesting, as these last three here, as really talking about the sins of the tongue. But in place of that, give thanks. And then he goes on to say here, for you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man is an idolater and hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ or of God. So when you look at it here, all these things bring on the wrath of God. And so God has a plan. You and I just need to follow His plan. And by that, in verse 8, be transformed. Verse 8, but you were sometimes in darkness. By that meaning, before our salvation, there may be some that lived like that, walked like that, and became a part of our lives. But you're no longer there. You're in the light now. You're not in darkness, but now you're in the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. I think every year I've ever watched and see, there'll be some people that start out with good intentions. They have maybe what a plan, but they'll get tripped up somewhere along the way. Something will happen this year, and 1 year from now, they won't be here. Because either the flesh will got the best of them, the devil will got the best of them, they've given in, they weren't focused, they weren't disciplined, they didn't have a goal, they didn't have a plan, they didn't have a purpose. Paul had a plan. So find that out. What is that? And it simply is that you look here and he says you used to be in darkness and now you live in the light. And he says, talks about here in the fruit of the Spirit, and for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And then he simply says, proving what is that acceptable unto the Lord. So in other words, find out what is that acceptable unto the Lord and prove it. He says simply here in the Scripture, have no fellowship with darkness. Christ will give you the light along the way. And in verse 15, that we are to walk circumspectly, not foolishly, but in wisdom. And then the Bible simply says in verse 17 and verse, as you get down there, verse 16, verse 17, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We are running out of time, folks. Whatever you're going to do, do it and do it quickly. It's amazing to me how quickly these years fly by. Did you ever notice this? The older you get, the faster it goes. You can't slow it down. Some of you sitting out there are pretty young right now, and you think you got a lot of time ahead of you. And you do, but you got to make the best of it. You got to make the most of it. You got to have a plan and a purpose put into place because, believe me, year after year after year, it clicks by very, very quickly. You want a good marriage? You're going to have to work on it. You want a good relationship with your sons and daughter? You're going to have to work on that. You want a good career path or a path in life, you're going to have to work on that. You're going to have to choose to be intentional about these things that God puts into our lives. And redeeming the time and understanding, the Bible simply says, what the will of the Lord is. So what is the will of the Lord? To realize we got to create a clear picture in our mind, exactly what do you want. If you don't have a desire, if you don't have a plan, Paul had a plan. Paul had a plan simply that is that I may know Him better than before. I can't change yesterday. Whatever happened last year, last month, or whatever, it's gone. Whatever happened in failed relationships or this or finances or whatever, that's history, that's behind you. You can't change the past. The only thing you can do is start from wherever you're at right now and then put a plan in place to go forward. and being intentional about the decision-making process from here forward. Being intentional about the day you come to Jesus Christ and trust Him as your Lord and Savior. Being intentional that you not are only satisfied with just being saved, but you want to have the depths of that relationship and to know Him better than you've ever known Him before. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it might be time to look at it, develop some new habits, overcome some roadblocks. There will be roadblocks. There will be challenges. They will come, believe me, for all of us. You got to be firm. You got to be a decision. You got to simply make a decision and say, no matter what, I will not quit. No matter what, I will stay focused. No matter what, I'm going to be tuned in that I may know Him, I will serve Him, and come next year at this time, I'll still be standing, I'll still be here, unless the Lord takes me home. Develop new habits, yes. Overcome the roadblocks, yes. Finish strong, yes. And you got to make a decision. And you got to be intentional, and you got to have a plan, because guess what? Next week, Satan shows up, or the flesh shows up. And God very specifically in the Bible tells us, this is what we should do, and this is what we should not do, and we need to be intentional about that. If you're here and you're not saved, and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today, you need to be intentional in making that decision and trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Realizing you cannot save yourself, you cannot get to heaven on your own, and I'm going to make that decision. I'm going to trust Christ before it's eternally too late. I would pray that this year, if you're going into a marriage relationship, be intentional about it. Have a plan. Do your homework and be ready. If you're in that relationship already, be intentional about making it better this year than the previous year and set a goal. You say, how can we do that and make it better? And be intentional. Finances plays a major role in all of our lives. Health plays a major role in all of our lives. You have one temple that God has given to you and I. One. Think about it. Just one. And we represent the Lord in this temple. And our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So what we put in it, what we take, how we treat it, how we take care of it, is representing the Lord. Be intentional with your health. Be intentional with these things and overcome the roadblocks that get thrown along the way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we love You. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You.